Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, in a special way, we should pray for the Christians who live in the far-off nation of India, out there in Asia. Why would I want us to pray for those who are in Asia, those who are in India? Do you know? Why especially today, on the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle? Here's the reason. It's because St. Thomas the Apostle, when he was lit on fire by the Holy Spirit, and he was sent by God, you know where he went? He journeyed all the way from Jerusalem to India. Made it all the way to India. That's not a short trek. That's not an easy place to get to. And this is the apostle who doubted that Jesus was even resurrected. That tells us something about this apostle here who is there, is that there's something about this saint, something about Thomas where he was found it so difficult because he was in such great grief that his Lord, who he had spent so much time with in Jesus, he was such a good friend. He walked every single day with Jesus and listened to him. We're recorded of three times total in the whole of the Bible where St. Thomas opens his mouth. The first time toward the end where Lazarus has passed away. And he asked Jesus a question, well, where's the way? What direction should we go? You say that we need to follow you someplace. Where do we go? And Jesus said, look, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody can get to my Father unless you come to me and through me. The next time St. Thomas spoke up in the scriptures was when Jesus was going. He was making a journey because Jesus' dear friend Lazarus died. And he said, look, let us now go on. And St. Thomas said, look, he wants us to go back to Jerusalem so that he can suffer and die. What we should do is we should go up with him so that we will die with him. And then we have the statements that he has today. That should show us something, that second to last statement that St. Thomas makes. Jesus is getting ready to go there, and they don't understand where he's going to. They think like he's going to maybe off himself, like he might commit suicide in some sort of way. That's what the disciples are really thinking. And St. Thomas has such faith, such love for Jesus as Lord, that he says, we should also go with him so that we can die with him. St. Thomas has this desire to be with Jesus always. The last thing that I want to point out to you about the life of St. Thomas, it's because St. Thomas's lack of faith that you and I know what Jesus looks like. You see, without St. Thomas's faith, his doubting at that time, his inability to believe that Jesus was raised because he was off someplace else, not with the disciples where he was supposed to be, it's because of that we know exactly what Jesus looks like. Because only because of his doubt that we found out something very beautiful about Jesus. Jesus, for all eternity, looks like that. That's what St. Thomas saw. Jesus for all eternity looks like that. What am I pointing to? I'm pointing to the nail marks in his hands. I'm pointing to that nail mark that lance thrust through his side. It's because of St. Thomas that we know that Jesus has those marks even after being resurrected. Why would you think that that would be important, that St. Thomas points out to us that Jesus has those marks in his hands, that Jesus has the mark in his side, even after being resurrected? It tells us this about what Jesus wants us to remember him by. Jesus doesn't want us to think of him as a pristine figure, as somebody who has a body that's all together, that's completely clean. Jesus wants you to know that for all eternity, he is the one who was crucified. That these marks within his hands, that this mark upon his side, that all the wounds of his passion, he remains and retains the scars in him, so that when you look at him, you can say, wow, Jesus, I can't believe you did that for me. Jesus, I can't believe that you died for me. Jesus, even in the midst of everything you went to, you could have wiped away all those scars and been perfect. But you want me to know that you suffered for me. And so that in the midst of whatever difficulties I go through, whether they're at school or within my family or wherever it is that they are, if you still bear the wounds, that means that even in my life when I still bear wounds, that you're not distant from my suffering, that you're not distant from my difficulties. And so one thing that each of us here today as Catholics need to hold firm to and strong to is that when we go to other places and we see beautiful images of our Lord Jesus, totally clean, totally put back together, when we go into the Protestant churches down the way, or maybe we go out and see some art exhibition that's there, and if Jesus doesn't have the marks in his body, then what you can say is you can say, that's not my Jesus. That's not my Lord. That one's not my God. Because my Jesus suffered. My Jesus continues to bear the marks of suffering. Because Jesus isn't just off somewhere in heaven enjoying himself. He's right here with me. My Jesus knows how to suffer with me. And because my Jesus suffers with me, I have hope of attaining to resurrection and to making it to heaven with him who suffered and died for me. We're celebrating Mass right now, and has been long a part of our faith tradition as Catholics. When Jesus is lifted up at the consecration, when the host is lifted up above the priest's head, or when the chalice is lifted up above the priest's head, and we all adore our Lord, it's been a part of our Catholic tradition that at that time, we all say together, either aloud or within our hearts, my Lord and my God. Because we're looking up there and seeing the Eucharist, but by faith we know that is our Lord and our God. Today during this Mass, I would like us all together to make that profession of faith. When Jesus is lifted up in the host that's become his body, to say, not loudly and pompously, but with devotion, my Lord and my God. When the chalice is lifted up, which is the chalice of Jesus' blood, to say together, my Lord and my God, because that's who he is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.